Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Of babies, Levites, and liberals. We're gonna That's a crazy title, right? Well, we're going to do something a little bit different today on the show. I don't usually do this. And if you've been listening to my show for the many years that I've been on the air, I don't often talk about my personal life, but today I'm going to share some things with you because we should be praising our Creator every chance we get. And I have to say, I've just been blessed abundantly, showered with blessings. Yesterday evening, my daughter gave birth. I'm so excited. This is her second child and my fourth grandchild, all boys. Everybody's joking. I'm going to be making a football team over here. In any case, I want to talk about what it means when you have a baby boy in Judaism, and the ceremonies that you have and why we have these ceremonies, because we're going to be celebrating today after I get off the air. Today, I'm going to start cooking really quickly because we're having a celebration at my home, which is called a Pidyon HaBen. And basically, it's the redeeming of your baby, your firstborn, natural-born baby boy from service in the Holy Temple. And it's a whole ceremony, and you're saying, well, what is that and why, and et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about that today, what it is. Also, you can call in with any questions that you might have or comments, et cetera. And also, we're going to talk about something that I've often heard from non-Jews who ask, why are the Jews, at least in America, so liberal? They're always very liberal and leaning to the left. If they're Jews, they should be God-fearing people. Why are they so on the liberal left? So we're going to tackle that question today, too, because I have an answer, and I've often talked about it, but I'm going to have a rabbi who's from Los Angeles, now in Israel, talk about it as well. I invited him on the show to weigh in on both of these issues, so it's going to be an interesting show. Again, we are live. If you want to call in, our numbers are on the top of our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. Don't go anywhere.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at israelnewstalkradio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on israelnewstalkradio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on israelnewstalkradio.com.
All right, so today I am so grateful to God. So many beautiful, beautiful life events happening in our family that are just so wonderful. As I was telling you in the beginning of the show, that my daughter gave birth last night, and so that means in another week from today we're going to be having a brit or a bris, and which is the where the baby enters the covenant of Abraham, and they have a circumcision, and it's a wonderful, wonderful, happy occasion. And today, after I get off the air, I'm running to the kitchen to cook and prepare because we're having what is called a Pidyon HaBen, which is literally the redeeming of the firstborn. Because 30 days ago, we had another baby boy that was born. And this last year, in fact, I can be so grateful to God that I had three grandsons born within this last year. Still not. It's less than a year. I've already had three grandsons born to me. I am so blessed. and so happy. And I thought, you know what? I bet a lot of our listeners don't know what a Pidyon HaBen is, what the redeeming of the firstborn is, what it's about. So I decided I was going to talk about that, but also take time, because I do have time left in the show, to talk about something that I've often heard from you when you write me on the emails. Tamar, why are so many Jews in America, but it's all over the world, it's actually basically secular Jews, why are they so liberal? Why are they liberals and leaning to the left? And I have an answer for that also, but I wanted someone else to also weigh in on that issue. And so I'm going to be introducing my next guest now, who's going to be talking about both of these topics for us. And again, I want to remind you, if you have any comments or questions, you can feel free to call into the show. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Our guest is Rabbi Avraham Shira. He's a teacher, therapist, and author. He is also, he teaches Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism, and prayer. And you can visit his website at avrahamshira.com. We will post that in the chat room and also on the page where the show is podcasted. And you can also follow him on the YouTube or on his Facebook page. He does live video chats as well. So welcome to the show, Rabbi Avraham Shira.
Thank you, Tamar. Welcome. Good morning.
All right. So let's start out with, what exactly is a Pidyon HaBen, the redeeming of the firstborn?
This mitzvah, Pidyon HaBen, the redeeming of the firstborn, is from the Torah in memory of the fact that God passed over the Jewish people and the firstborn Jews in the house of Egypt. You know, that first night of Passover, when the Jews left Egypt, there was a dead child in every, or a dead adult for that matter, in every home in Egypt. And then the Jewish people were protected. So there was a pestilence, or a plague, if you will. But this had to be a divine plague, because it knew the genetics of every person in every family. And so the Jewish children and the firstborn of our people were saved. And so, in honor and memory of that miracle, God commands that we redeem our firstborn children from him, because children do not really belong to us. This is a big problem in the world. It was back in the ancient days, when the people would sacrifice children to their gods. And today we see that children are sacrificed to many false gods. And children are trafficked in the world market. It's a horrible thing. And they don't belong to us. Our children are gifts that are lent to us for a time. And then, you know, what happens, happens. So on the 30th day after a child is born, we do a ceremony where we give 5 silver coins to a Kohen, a priest, and the priest represents the office of the Almighty, and we give him those coins, and he gives us back our child, the firstborn male, actually. And so this mitzvah really, it points to a very important relationship that we have with God, that we recognize everything we have is a gift and not as something that's coming to us. And a lot of people make that mistake, and it's something we need to fix. And so the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is really to fix our attitude, our idea of possession of children. And unfortunately, as I said, that's been really abused today. Now, redemption in itself is the idea of freeing anything from captivity. So in the Torah, in the laws of the Torah, we have the freedom of redeeming a field from a foreign owner, or redeeming a captive, a Jewish person who's been taken captive by a non-Jewish authority. We have redeeming land. I said that, I think. And first fruits are even considered a form of redemption, because even fruit trees are not really ours. They are given to us for our benefit and our pleasure. So this is something that it's a wonderful mitzvah for you, Tamar, and your family. And you know, who could say they had 3 grandchildren during the corona period or this last year? Very happy for you. And I was once, a not religious Jew, so I didn't recognize or know these mitzvot. And it's so much more beautiful to see from having come from outside the Torah to come inside the Torah and see the blessing of children and grandchildren that are coming to you and to many, many people in our religion.
Amen. I really have to just praise God and thank him for all of the blessings, because God forbid, some people are burying their family members now because of the coronavirus and other things. And instead of having these terrible family events, I'm having the wonderful family events one after another. I mean, after we finish this today, in another week, we're going to have a bris. So it's just from one happy occasion to the next. And I'm so grateful to God. But let's talk for a moment again about the service that we're redeeming the baby from, because the firstborn male child who has to be born in a natural birth, in other words, if the baby is a cesarean, we don't have the pidyon haben, or the redeeming of the firstborn son, because he hasn't opened the womb in that sense where he was born naturally. Can you just briefly talk about that?
Right, because the birth process is a miraculous thing. Ruch Hashem, thank God, my daughter just gave birth yesterday morning.
Mazal tov.
Thank you, amen. And so when you experience the birth process, especially as a man who, we don't have that particular mitzvah as far as I know, although I've heard some rumors, this... watching, being part of that process in the hospital or at a home birth as well, we see that the real amazing thing that's taking place. And so that is part of the way that God designed us, of course. But we, as Jews, we don't just take it for granted that that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That phrase itself is like almost a put down. It's like it's just an accepted thing. And if a person, a woman, God forbid, needs to do a cesarean section, then it's an intervention not from a place of joy, and it's an interruption of the divine process of birth. And so it's not, because the mitzvah in the Torah is Peter Kol Rechem, the opening of the womb, because the womb itself is a miraculous thing. The Midrash tells us that Sarah, our first mother of Judaism, didn't even have a womb, and God had to do a miracle to create a space for her to give birth. And so we take our bodies for granted. We take the fact that a woman can have a baby for granted. And certainly men who don't even have to experience that unbelievable pain of birth. I tell guys when they come to my class in Jerusalem, I say, if you want to learn how to pray, go to the birthing room.
Yeah.
Go to the hospital, listen to the screams of women giving birth, and you'll find out how to pray real fast. Because that's
or ride an egged bus here in Israel. Ride a bus here in Israel. When the driver turns the corner, you're praying for your life. Okay, we only have 2 minutes left, so I just want to say again, basically, so we are today going to be redeeming our grandson, or the father is my son, and the ceremony is you give 5 silver coins to a Kohen, to a priest, a Jewish priest, and it's so fascinating to know that anybody who's named Kohen today, he's a descendant of Aaron. It's just, when you go back, it's just an amazing thing that he's a descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses. And we're going to be redeeming this on, we put the baby on a silver tray. We decorate him with jewelry, and we put that there. And then we pay these 5 silver coins to the Kohen, to the priest, in order to redeem him, and then he doesn't have to do his temple service. He is redeemed. And it's kind of funny because I always make the joke, well, there's no temple, so why redeem him, right? Let him go serve. There's no place to serve, right? Let him serve. But it's an
I never heard about the baby bling,
You never heard about putting jewelry on the baby? You like take no. You put it all over his clothes, like you safety pin it onto his clothes and stuff. Sure, it's a. If anybody wants to look it up, they can find that there. In any case, it's a happy occasion. I want to thank everybody for listening to this and sharing in my joy. Those of you who are sharing in my joy, I'm just over the rainbow, over the, you know, I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation, I'm just joking, quoting Karen Carpenter. Okay,
that's pretty good.
When we get back, we're going to be talking about why are so many secular Jews liberal, and the reason why, and feel free to call in with any comments or questions you have. We'll be happy to take your call. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And the question is often put to me, Tamar, why are so many Jews, and they're usually talking about American Jews, but it could be any secular Jews, why are Jews so liberal and many of them left-leaning? Like they vote Democrats. A lot of Jews, the majority of the Jews, by the way, in the United States are Democrats. However, it's interesting when you look at the religious, the Torah observant Jews, they're more Trump voters. They're more Republican. They're more conservative. It's the Jews who are not Torah observant, who do not know Torah, who are much more leaning towards the left and liberalism and the Democrats. And I have to say that when I grew up, even though we voted Republican and conservative, we were very liberal in our views, and I'm still very liberal in my views, because I believe that that's what Jews are taught. We're taught to be very liberal, to love each other, to be tolerant, to not be angry. But there comes a time when we have to have borders as well, and limitations, to know when you are kind and when you have to be a little bit more stringent. And here to tell us more about this, we have joining us as our guest again, Rabbi Avraham Shira from avrahamshira.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tamar.
Okay, you yourself are from Los Angeles. So you can...
Not exactly. I was born and raised in Orlando, Florida. But after college, I moved to L.A. and I became religious in L.A., actually.
Well, you know what Florida says about California, what it stands for? Calif, you know the abbreviation? Come and live in Florida.
Well, okay, we can break up, according to the Kabbalah, you can break up the word California in a lot of different ways.
Okay, well, another show.
It doesn't come out too pretty. Well, a caliph is a Muslim kingdom, and so there that word is in there.
Interesting.
In the Kabbalah, we have the word klipa, which means the external forces, the shells that separate us from God. So there's a lot going on. We know what fornia comes from, so it's a problem. It's a problem.
Okay. All right. Well, California, listen, I grew up in California. It's a beautiful, or at least when I grew up, there was a beautiful state. But let's go. So Jews, they're very, very liberal. They're always fighting. If you see who was helping Martin Luther King in the 1960s, the Jews were there marching in the streets with the blacks. And the Jews are always there trying to help the downtrodden. And we're very, very liberal. However, why is it, answer the question, why is it that Torah observant Jews lean more conservative and the Jews who are bereft of Torah, they're secular. They believe in God, but they don't know the Torah. They didn't study it. They didn't get a Jewish education. Are much more democratic, left-wing, liberal.
Well, I think that the first place we can look at is history, that the Jewish people have as a wandering, searching socio and economic entity have always entered countries as refugees, as migrants, as people that were searching for restitution and help and to rebuild their lives after being destroyed in other countries. And it's happened so many times, nobody can ignore the facts of Jewish history. And so when the Jewish people got to America, they weren't necessarily so welcome with open arms. And they were disenfranchised from the main political operations in the country. That is until Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was the longest serving president in United States history. He had four terms in office, and it was because of him they passed a law that a U.S. president could only have two terms. Franklin Roosevelt invited the Jewish people into the Democratic Party in the early 30s, 90 years ago, during the Great Depression, because he was trying to strengthen the position of the Democratic Party against his Republican opposition. And he not only did that with the Jews, but he also invited the Black people and the Hispanic people into the Democratic Party. So, and by how did he do that? Well, of course, by standing on a platform that was to help poor people and to bring relief to people. You know, the Great Depression was a terrible time in America. People don't really remember it, but you know, we're talking about 10 years of unemployment, 10 years of shortages of goods, and very, very frugal living, shall we say. And so when he brought the Jewish people into the Democratic Party, the Jews were thrilled. It was, for them, it was a stamp of approval, of acceptance into American culture. Because we don't know what anti-Semitism back then was, not a faux pas of PC culture. Anti-Semitism was part of the same culture that didn't want Black people on the buses and didn't want Hispanics crossing the borders, and they didn't want Jews running their businesses and their banks and joining their country clubs and playing golf with them, and all kinds of racist practices were considered acceptable back before World War II. And so Franklin Roosevelt tried to create a political power using these, as I said, disenfranchised people. It sounds like, you know, you once were a McDonald's restaurant and they took away your they took away your golden arches. You know, the Jewish people suddenly found themselves as if they were welcomed into the American mainstream. And so they were thrilled to be Democrats, and they bought the party hook, line, and sinker. Now, the idea of liberal is, you know, words are very slippery, Tamar, and words can be used and turned around in many different ways. And the word liberal comes from liberality, of course, and the idea of liberty in French is freedom. So the idea of liberal really represents the idea of freedom, and Jews are always jumping on the bandwagon for freedom because they've always been oppressed. You mentioned the Jews of the 60s supporting the Black Rights Movement. Well, the Jews were also supporting the freedom of the serfs from the Tsar in pre-communist Russia and freeing up the Russians from their oppressive autocratic rule of the Tsar. And then, of course, Jews were behind transformations we'll go all the way back to Egypt, if you will. The Jews wanted to get freed from Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had to be taken down anyways because he was a despot and a sorcerer, and he used all kinds of means to oppress his people. And so we see that the Jewish people are naturally drawn to freedom, because freedom is the state that God created us to be. All people are supposed to be free. All people are supposed to have self-determination. Because, you know, just as we said a few moments ago about our children are not our own. Well, we don't belong to our employers, and we don't belong to our politicians. We're not the chattel and the property of Washington or Tel Aviv or any capital government system. And so when we are submerged or subdued by political systems and we lack our freedom, then we're not able to act like human beings. We're not able to lift ourselves to the true level of our souls. And the way that God made us to be is to be free. And so liberality is a quality. Now, what's happened is it's been exaggerated. It's been attacked. It has a vulnerability. And the vulnerability of liberalism is excess. And the excess of freedom leads to, well, a lot of not good things. So, of course, the Torah tells us, no, we can't have too much freedom, because too much freedom means that you don't have to get married to raise a family. And it means that, I can abuse the system to make money, and I can take advantage of my employees and make them work when they don't want to work. And so freedom of power, well, as I believe Churchill said, the absolute power is always abused absolutely, that so we are definitely sensitive to those issues. Jews are sensitive people because they've been forced to be sensitive by the exile that's been going on for thousands of years.
Right, now, we were slaves and we were in pogroms, right, which is like, how do you say, like a lot of people don't know what a pogrom is, where they go in and they slaughter you.
Well, it's actually a state-sponsored internecine violence where the czar would pay people to go out, drink vodka, and take their guns and their swords and ride their horses in the middle of the night with torches blazing and go into a village, Jewish villages, and knock them out. The czar was the one who created what's called the Pale of Settlement, which is a whole portion of Belarusia. And that portion of Belarus, wow, that's funny. The czar dictated that Jews would all live in one area. So they were ghettoifying Jews hundreds of years ago. And that ghettoification is a way of controlling power over Jews, because they always saw Jews as powerful, free-thinking, educated people.
Let's end it there right now for this segment, because we have to go to a break. But I want to comment on that, how he wanted to keep people away from the Jews and the Jews away from people. I have a big, big comment about that. That's when we get back. And again, I want to remind everybody, you can call into the show if you have any comments or questions. Feel free to do so. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the Phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Our guest is Rabbi Avraham Shira. He is a teacher and author. He teaches Jewish mysticism and prayer. You can go to his website at avramshira.com. You can follow him on his Facebook page as well as his YouTube channel. And in the last segment, Rabbi Avram Shira, we were talking about how the Tsar would put the Jews in ghettos and keep them separated from the non-Jewish population. And I wanted to share a story. I was friends with anybody who knows me. I was friends with many interesting people. One of them, his name was Joel Bainerman. And he was talking to me once, a very interesting conversation we had. He was talking about one of the reasons why he believed that there was such anti-Semitism and that the church called the Jews devil, the Roman church. And he was saying that, you know, just think in history, the Jewish people, the Romans come in, they decimate Jerusalem, they exile the majority of the Jewish people from the land of Israel, and then they rename it Palestine. They take the Jews, they march them into Rome as slaves. And now the Jews are slaves, but the Romans had other slaves, not just Jews. And you can just imagine the Jews hanging out, right, with working side by side with other slaves from other countries there, and they're saying, you know, we're all created equal. God created us, and there is no such thing as that we should be slaves. We were once slaves in Egypt, but God redeemed us, and we have the Torah, and they start talking about freedom for mankind and that they shouldn't be abused and that mankind has rights and no other man has a right to abuse them like this, and infecting them, so to speak, with this rebellious spirit that they should fight their oppressors and not just accept this caste system where we're slaves, that's how it's going to be, there's nothing to do. And in order to keep the Jews away from the non-Jews, to infect them with these with these holy and righteous and human rights thoughts, they would just say the Jews are devils. They stem from the devil. Don't talk to them. Don't be friends with them. They're evil. And, you know, keeping them separate, because when the Jews were not separated from the rest of the population, they couldn't infect them with the ideas of Torah and freedom and human rights. I mean, Judaism was the first religion in the world that instituted the Sabbath, that people should have one day a week where they rest from work. I mean, that was unheard of. It was radical before Mount Sinai, because everybody worked 7 days a week. There was no taking a day off and reconnecting with your creator and spending time with your family and thinking, what is the life really for? It's not just to work. It's to be part of this world, to connect with our creator, to make the world a better place, to build families and to make the world better. But this was basically a way to keep Jews away from the rest of the population. So I will leave you now to take over. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we were talking before that about the idea of the Jewish tendency that we see towards liberal philosophies, and that really depends on the individual. And even if we'd see that a lot of Jews are Democrats in America, it's probably because the Republican Party wasn't as open to Jews either back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. A Jew couldn't just join up with the country club with the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, you know. And I remember growing up in a society where a lot of my friends were Christian. And there was always lines you didn't cross. And so you could understand that, you know, if your friend invites you into the home for dinner, but then he tells you, you can't do this and you can't go there and you can't join our club, then you kind of start to see that there's two things happening at once. Okay, but we all have certain biases, certain tendencies towards what's called xenophobia, which is really self-obsession or national self-obsession, that me first and my people first, and I'm afraid of anybody else coming in and breaking that up. So that's been a product of the exile also for Jews to ghettoify themselves, because the need to protect themselves from foreign values. You know, Jewish people have very strict values about relations and about business. And if we keep the Torah properly, then it's going to be very hard to operate in a non-Torah environment in terms of how you do business, how you marry your children, how you, like you said, keep Shabbat. And the dietary laws, of course, also separated us because God said, that we are going to be a nation that will dwell alone. And that aloneness is not a statement of superiority or a statement of segregation. It's a statement of our specialness. That we're special doesn't make us better. It makes us special. Everybody's special. The Jewish people discovered their specialness first. They were given that as a mission. And Reb Shlomo Carlebach said, it's a wonderful thing to remember and tell your friends. The Jewish people were chosen to tell the rest of the world that they're chosen. Our job is to deliver the message, folks. We are not slaves and we are not animals. And you see that human beings, when they don't have laws, they behave like they're behaving all over America right now as we speak. And instead of protesting the improper treatment of a black man in Minneapolis, they're using it as an excuse to go out and thieve and rob and pillage
and destroy,
and plunder.
Right.
You know, this is horrible.
But wouldn't you say that these Jews today who are left leaning, they're in the Democratic Party, they're liberal and left leaning. It's the reason is, as you're saying, that we are imbued with this idea of that we want to bring justice to the world. We don't want to see people suffering. We don't want to see people deprived. And we do everything we can in order to lift them up. However, when you don't have the Torah values of how much, because if you just lift people up and keep lifting them up and you never teach them how to fish, you just throw them fish, that's not helping them. And the Torah is the guidelines of here, yes, deliver this message, fight for the rights of human rights and that we are made in God's image. But at the same time, there have to be guidelines and limitations and borders. And this is what the Torah teaches us, when to say no to a child or to a person, when to do these things. And if a Jew wasn't raised in Torah and they don't know Torah, they end up being, as we say, kind to the cruel without really wanting to. But that's what happens when you are kind. When you're kind to the cruel, you end up being cruel to the kind.
That's correct. It really comes down to having weak boundaries. You know, in psychology and in my practice, it's a common problem that people from Western culture have weak boundaries. They don't know when to say no and when to say yes. And that's really a sign of deeper things. A strength of character and ego development is a good thing for children to grow up with. But if a child is not allowed to set his own healthy borders and boundaries, then what kind of adult will he be? He can't say no to the wrong things, and he can't say yes to the right things.
So we have 2 minutes left. So what do you want to leave us with?
Well, I think that the idea of liberalism needs to be tempered, and I think the idea of conservatism also needs to be examined, because these are words, you know, and these words represent categories where you're putting millions of people into a little word. It's like it's a very tight box to put people into little words. And but we use these words to try to estimate ideas. But to really, really see people, you have to see them one-on-one. You have to see people as whole worlds. The Talmud teaches us that every person is a complete world. And that means we have both good and evil mixed into us. And we are all charged with that same responsibility. If you want to be a human being, God says, I made you in my image. But that also means dealing with evil. And so I think that we have to look at our systems and look at that politics is not a healthy way of adjudicating a nation. Politics is open warfare nowadays, and it's become embarrassing to listen to politicians speak, how they speak about each other. And, you know, Tamar, when we grew up in the States, people didn't just throw the filthy language that they use against each other, and they actually spoke speeches with real issues. I don't know what's happened nowadays, but But politics is, it should be separate from government. And the Torah gives us the answer. Every politician has to have his own money. There's no such thing as getting paid to be a politician. You wanna serve the people? Then, well, the first thing you do is you better have your own paycheck. And when you do that, you'll clear the field very fast, believe me. And this idea of that there's a senator sitting in the House or in the Senate for 40 years is an abrogation of the whole idea of the system.
So what do you want us to go away with from the show?
Well, I want to go away from the show is that we are looking at radical change in America and in the world in general. And these riots and all this activity is only an attempt to destabilize the system. To destabilize America means to destabilize the world. Hmm. And to destabilize the world means to attack its economic systems. And so I want to leave that we are in a huge transition period, and we need to really need God's help.
Amen.
More than ever.
Amen.
We need to pray, and we need to pray for everything.
And
not just our friends and our family. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for everybody.
All right.
Because everybody has a good point and a good spark.
We have to leave it there. The music's on. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Rabbi Avraham Shira. If anybody has any comments or questions, feel free to write me, Tamar, Tamar, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Thank you, everybody, for being with us.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.